Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
He's from the four on first and goal with three timeouts.
Jeff?
I mean, he doesn't get, you know, it's not like he gets to cash those in at the end and put the money in his IRA.
Jeff, do you feel better now that you've said that?
No.
Okay, well, we're here to help. We're not here to sit here and listen to your aggravation. And you know who else
can
help us?
Well, no, we pretty much are. We do that for 20 hours a week.
Yeah, that's
4 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's what we do here.
You win. You win.
Joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's our buddy, clear-thinking, level-headed, from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. You can read all of his fine work. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Good morning, Scott.
What's going on, fellas?
Hello, hello.
Before we get specific, we can all agree that you should have run the ball from first and goal from the four at least once, and you had the timeouts. And fourth and nine from, you know, with 9 minutes to go, maybe you just punt the ball away and, you know, trust your defense. Before we get to that, there's no reason that people should be screaming yet for Freddie to give up play calling duties, is there?
I don't think so. I mean, I understand it. You know, it's a short season and people get frustrated quickly. I'm not ready to make that move. But a couple more offensive clunkers, you know, if the struggles persist, if Freddie makes some boneheaded calls like he did yesterday, then I think that's the quickest remedy would be to make that switch. But I would not do it quite yet.
Do you think it was a boneheaded call, or do you think he's sticking up for his quarterback? Do you think that, because I thought when he walked up to the line on the fourth down and nine, that it looked like it had looked for the last couple weeks, where they went up to the line and they were just going to try to draw him offside, and they were going to go back to the sidelines. And somewhere Baker's like, oh, you know what, maybe we can go for it. I don't know. I'm just saying it could have gone either way. And if Freddie was sticking up for his quarterback, then good for Freddie.
In other words, did he call the play?
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. Who knows? I mean, is there a possibility Baker may have changed it at the line? Because that's what it looked like, a broken play to me. It didn't look right.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. And I did think for a second as well that they were going to try to draw him offside, right? Because I said that out loud in the press. Like, oh, maybe they're doing that. And then all of a sudden they turn around and snap it, or, you know, snap it and hand it to Chubb there. But Baker's reaction during the game and in the press conference afterward made me think that it was Freddie's call the whole way. Because after Chubb gets stopped, he kind of turns to the sideline with his arms out. Not like really demonstrative, but like, why? What was that? And then after the game, he said, yeah, I need to go back and look at the film, and I'm not going to get into this. You know, you guys want me to question Freddie's play calling. So I think it was all Freddie. I think he got too cute. I can understand going for it on fourth and nine from the 40.
Really?
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
I think the way your defense is playing, you can pin him deep and, you know, make him go 90 yards. And it felt like the Rams were having a hard time doing that. And then you get the ball back and you're still only down four, and a touchdown wins the game. Instead, you go for fourth and nine, and the percentage isn't great to convert that. And then it's next to zero, running a draw there, you know, especially with that Rams defense. It's a solid defense. You know, I'm sure Freddie's thinking, hey, if they get a lot of, you know, if they get a good pass rush, we can sneak behind them and catch them off guard. But it doesn't show any faith in your quarterback. It doesn't show any faith in your offensive line. You know, and I know it's only one call, but it's one of the worst calls that I can remember.
What happened on the first and goal from the four? Did you just get too cute if you're Freddie? I mean, you have Nick Chubb, who you trusted on a draw play on fourth and nine, and yet you don't trust him with three timeouts and four downs from the four? I'm just, that's the most confusing thing to me. That's even more confusing to me than the fourth and nine, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I think the fourth and nine is worse just because what I just said. But I get what you're saying. And Freddie said he was kicking himself for not running the ball at least once down there. And if you're going to run it once, first down makes sense when you run it. You know, but they went empty, if I'm remembering correctly. Baker was out there to the left actually positioning guys, you know, moving them, telling them where they're supposed to be. You know, I mean, the NFL is so much about passing today that I just expect most of the plays to be throws. You have Odell. You have Jarvis. Maybe he thinks if we go five wide, we can get Odell in a one-on-one situation for a change because they're always doubling him. But Eric Weddle blitzes, and Baker, they don't recognize it or don't pick it up. Whatever it is, he doesn't have time, and he tries to throw it to Jarvis really quick, and Jarvis isn't ready for it. So it set a bad tone for those final four plays. And I agree with you. If you go traditional, run it there, even if you get 2 yards to the two, it opens up the playbook more. You can call a timeout, settle things down. So, yeah, it would obviously, in hindsight, it's the wrong call not to run it there.
But I just, you know, there's a ton of negative things from last night. There were some positives from last night's game. And I don't know how you can't look.
Yeah.
You can't look at the defense last night and go, man, I'm not quite sure who those defensive backs were last night, but they did a nice job, you know?
Yeah, you know what? And obviously we're picking on Freddie, and plenty of people are picking on him. I thought his overall game strategy was the one necessary to give the Browns a chance to win. And by that I mean methodical on offense. Take your time moving down the field. On defense, you play soft coverage, make them throw everything underneath, and you hope for a mistake, right? You hope for a Rams penalty that they can't convert the first down. You hope for a turnover, and the Browns got three of them. They had only gotten one in two games. I thought it set up, for shorthanded as they were and for how they were struggling to find themselves offensively, I thought they gave themselves the best chance to win that game, and that's a good sign for Freddie. And Steve Wilkes, I thought, had the right game plan. I think it's disappointing that the defensive line was not able to pressure Goff more. Obviously, they dropped seven guys back and said, your four have to go beat their five or six, and it didn't happen enough. But overall, you know, they kept them in the game. You hold them to 20 points, you get three takeaways. You know, I don't think you could ask much more from that Steve Wilkes defense.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. You can see all of his work. Baker clearly doesn't look like the same guy who played under Freddie Kitchens last year. Is it Baker? Is it the offensive line? Is it the play calling? Is it the overall philosophy? Was it trying to get the ball to Odell, which I don't think he tried to do last night? It didn't feel forced to me last night. What do you think it might be?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all the above, and then you throw in there that defensive coordinators had all offseason to study his film, especially the teams early in the year, and figure out what they were going to try to take away that Baker likes to do. You know, you mentioned the offensive line, and obviously it's not a perfect unit. And there's struggle for tackle, and, you know, Chris Hubbard wasn't even out there yesterday at right tackle with the foot injury. But Baker's taking off before he needs to plenty of times. Not on that fourth down play to end the game, right? There was immediate pressure. Greg Robinson got beat by Dante Fowler. Baker had no choice but to roll out. But there's plenty of plays where the pocket's clean, and either Baker doesn't trust the pocket to stay clean, or he feels like he can't see what he needs to see from inside the pocket. And either, whatever case it is, that's troubling. Your quarterback needs to be able to stay in there, because as soon as he rolls right, it shrinks the field, everything gets confused, it becomes a scramble drill. It's not your normal offensive you practiced all week. So you're 100% right that Baker's not the same guy. I still have confidence that he will become that same guy. But until he does, this team's going to struggle to win games. Right? This league is about quarterback play. They have to find a way to win games. And, you know, I don't know if it's a Todd Monken influence is, you know, just changing things enough. I don't know if it's the extra responsibility Freddie has. You know, they had to redo a playbook because it was Todd Haley's playbook. All those things are factors. But when you look at it, really, Odell's the only big piece of the offense that's changed. And you would think that would help the offense as opposed to hinder it. Yet all we continue to hear is, we're going to need more time to come together. And we're getting relatively deep into the season here.
Do you think they scrapped everything in Haley's playbook? Was Freddie involved in that? Or And do you think this is Freddie's offense, this is Munkin's offense, or is it a combination? I would assume it's a combination of their offense, right?
Yeah, I think it's for sure a combination. I don't think Freddie had anything to do with the Todd Haley playbook. You know what I mean? Freddie was a running backs coach, right? He hadn't been with Todd for a while. Todd had been in Pittsburgh, and Freddie had been in Arizona. So I think Freddie just inherited that for the final eight games last year, picked and chose what he liked best, and then was able to, you know, have success for eight games. But then you're given the offseason. It's your offense. It's your team. I think you design a playbook. Not that you don't borrow from that, but a new playbook. And you have Todd Munkin's influence. And on game day, Munkin's in the booth. I'm sure he's giving Freddie advice or suggestions. And it's just different than it was a year ago. And I don't think you can discount the fact that Freddie had nothing to lose last year, right? Neither did Baker, and the team had nothing to lose. They weren't going to go to the playoffs. There were no expectations. Freddie was an unknown calling plays. All of a sudden, Freddie's head coach, right? This team has huge expectations. Baker's expected to take this team to the playoffs. He's expected to play like Pat Mahomes in his second year and Carson Wentz in his second year. And that's a lot. And even if it affects you a little bit and it slows you down a tick, whether it's calling a play or getting the ball out of your hands, that changes from a big completion to an incompletion or an interception. And that's how these games swing in the NFL.
Scott, I got two quick questions for you. One of your stories from over the weekend, the headline was, Browns eager to see how they stack up against proven winner Rams in primetime. How did they stack up last night? If you can look at it from a 12-hour perspective away from the game. Did they stack up against a team that made it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think they handled themselves well. And Baker said that. He said, if we played our capabilities, we could have handled our business tonight. And I agree with him. I thought the offense played better. They win. And even, if they score at the end and they go to overtime and they win, obviously this conversation is completely different. And you're looking at a 2-1 team tied for the lead in the division with a huge primetime win and all the momentum. So, yeah, I think they said, yes, we can compete at that level. But now they got to go do it because the schedule doesn't get any easier. And they have to get some wins from this difficult part of the schedule.
All right, and real quick, can you explain the whole IR thing with the guys like Njoku? Sure. What's going to happen to those guys, and can they come back? Because the rules keep changing on this thing.
Right. Only two of them can come back. But okay, you don't have to say ahead of time who those two are. For early when they changed the rule, you had to designate a guy when he went on IR. Now you don't have to. So whether it's Drew Forbes, David Njoku, Christian Kirksey, at some point when those guys are healthy and they're 8 weeks, they have to miss at least 8 weeks. When that 8 weeks is over, then the Browns can decide, yes, I designate David Njoku to return, and then he's got a window before he can come back. But we're still a long way from that, so there's no decisions that have to be made right now.
Thanks for clarifying, because I was wondering that, and then I was looking through your story, and I was like, oh, my God, here's the answer. So.
Scott, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle-Telegram, BrownsZone.com. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.